what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Come on now, you love penis, don't you? So yes, you do. I know you do. Yeah. Hey, what's Christmas all about anyway? What is it all about? And maybe you're asking that question, or you've been around people who are asking that question, or hey, look, it's just Christmas. It's just Christmas. And I don't know if you've been reading the news, or you've seen things come up lately, haven't you? It's a nativity scene. It's about their Christmas. It's just Christmas. So what's the message about Christmas? I want to talk about that in just a moment. And to do my very, very best to be very, very clear about that. I mean, how many of us have been on that FaceTime call or that Skype call or that telephone call where it's really staticky and you kind of go, look, you're breaking up. Anybody, you know, on your cell phone, right? You're breaking up. I can't really understand what you're saying. Well, I really want to be really, really clear today what it is that we're talking about. I'll just tell you that last night, it was one of those nights for me where I watched the clock. You've been there, and in our case, the clock shines on the ceiling. And so, you know, I saw it at 1 something, and then at 3 something, a couple hours before I get up on Sunday, and so on. And every time I woke up, I really was excited about today, what we're talking about. And we're talking about the message of Christmas, this thing that kind of gets lost from time to time, and maybe it's kind of got lost for you. I'll come back to that in just a moment, but in this series called Follow the Star, here's what we've been talking about. We talked about the first week called the miracle of the moment. That is that Jesus came. That's the first advent, his first coming. Jesus is coming again. He came the first time, he's coming the second time, but in between the first time and the second time, he comes to us in just the right moment. And maybe you're one of those who are sitting there going, look, When's the moment? I mean, I've been praying to him. I've been talking to God. I've been talking to Jesus, and I need him right now. But listen, here's what I can assure you of. He comes in the right moment. Whatever your moment is, Jesus will be there. He never fails us. The Bible talks about that. So we talked about the miracle of the moment. The second week, we talked about the miracle of the method. That is that God uses you, he uses me, people like us, just regular human beings, you know, who sometimes struggle in life, who have issues in life. He entrusts us with this message, and he uses us to share the good news of the gospel. So we talked about that in the miracle of the method. Today we're talking about the miracle of the message, and I'll come back to that in just a few moments. Next week, we're talking about, on Christmas Sunday, the miracle of the birth. And I just encourage you to be here. Next Sunday, we're going to bring our students in. We're going to bring our children in. It's going to be a great Sunday as we worship together, as we consider the miracle of the birth next Sunday during all hours, 8, 9:30, 11 o'clock, and then in the evening as well. But I want to talk about the miracle of the message. What about this message that Jesus has come and he came as a baby? What's that mean to you, and what's that mean to me, and what's it look like? What's it mean for God to have actually come in and invaded our world? That's what we're going to talk about. So we kind of focus on the angel candle for just a few moments today. I want to share with you 3 stories that focus our attention on this message and how it was delivered. The 3 angel stories. Now, if I were to go around the room today and ask, have you seen an angel? Have you seen an angel? Have you seen an angel? Probably most of us would go, unless you're talking about your spouse or the person that you love, you know, there's your angel right there. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking like a spiritual thing, right? Most of us would probably say no. Now, some of us would say yes, and my wife sitting down here is one of those that would say yes, and I remember that day when that event happened in her life. And some of you have. But I want to share with you three angel stories as we kind of focus in on the miracle of the message today, the thing that's been entrusted to you and to me. Now, if you're launched YouVersion Live, some further readings will be there. If you want to, you can turn to the first story in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through verse 23. That's where we're going to go, Luke chapter 1, where we're going to read about the first angel story that focuses us on a particular message that we're talking about today. Luke chapter 1, it's going to feel like a little bit of a Bible sword drill, by the way, today. So just get ready. I kind of forewarn you there. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through verse 33. In the sixth month, Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, here's an angel story, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." That's our first angel story. Here's Mary, and the angel appears to her and delivers to her this message. During this time, my Bible says that she was engaged. Now, depending on what version of Bible that you're reading, that word is betrothed in there, maybe, or pledged, or espoused, if you're using the King James Version. All those words mean the same thing, but here's what I want to draw our attention to. It's different. It was different in Jewish culture than it is in our culture now. It meant something different than it does today to be betrothed or engaged or espoused or pledged, whatever that word is in your Bible. It meant something in Jewish culture different than what it means today. What it meant in Jewish culture was this, that you were married. Now, you didn't live together. You didn't have sexual relations, but it was just like you were married. Now, it's important for us to understand that, because when we get to the next angel story, where the angel visits Joseph, he decides to do something because of that. So, it's as if they were married, but they weren't living together, and they weren't having sexual relations. That's different than it is today. Engagement looks a little bit different, perhaps, today. Now, I was reading this past week a bunch of little notes from kids. And, you know, kids, young children, they have this way of, you know, honesty, right? And so I read this note from one student right here, and I'll help you read it there. "Dear Ashley, would you please be my girlfriend? I like you a lot." And then he put yes, maybe, no. "Please put yes, no, or maybe," and Ashley circles no. And then she gives her reason down below. "I'm sorry, I already have a boyfriend, Kyle," and then the last name is scratched out there. "But when we break up, you're my next choice." And then she says, "P.S., that will probably be a month or two." Isn't that funny? So we understand it to be totally different than that, right? Here, what was taking place? Totally different. And so enter angel story number two. Now, Joseph. So the angel has appeared to Mary, delivered her a message, and now an angel appears to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 and 21. Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 and 21. So Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man, and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Now, I'm going to come back to that in just a moment, but we got to understand what's going on here. He's engaged. It's as if they're husband and wife, and now something's happened, and Joseph understands and knows that Mary is with child, so he decides to break the engagement or to divorce her quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The message that was delivered to Joseph was, look, don't be afraid. Because something's going to happen here. And Jesus is going to be born. That's what his name is going to be. But he's going to save people from their sins. Just think about that and ponder that as we talk about the miracle of the message today. But try to wrap your head around Joseph's story here for just a moment. Angel appears to him. He's considering divorcing or breaking off this engagement quietly. Why quietly? That's important for us to know because he understood that the situation that Mary was in could actually lead to her death. You see, so he loved her that much. Let's understand, it was an act of extreme love on Joseph's part, what he was going to do or attempt to do or start to do. He didn't want Mary to lose her life. And so he was going to break that engagement quietly, divorce her quietly. And then the angel appears and says, don't be afraid. It's easy for us sometimes, isn't it, to kind of read it as a story and kind of miss the emotion that's there and kind of go, oh, that's a great Christmas story, and miss what's happening. Max Lucado, and many of us read Max Lucado, don't we? And he just has a way of kind of capturing emotion, I think, and thought. And he has some questions for Joseph, I think, to help us to understand the humanity of Joseph and maybe what he was maybe struggling with that day. He has some questions for Joseph, and he says this, did you and Jesus ever arm wrestle? Did you guys ever arm wrestle? And then his second question was this, like, did he ever let you win? Did Jesus ever let you win? And then he said, I got this other question. Did you ever look up while you were praying and see Jesus listening? Did that ever happen? You see, we need to understand that the realness of what's taking place here. The angel appears to Mary, and then the angel appears to Joseph and delivers this message. There is a third angel story I want to share with you, I think, that helps us understand what we're talking about today, the miracle of the message. And the angels appear to the shepherds. The night in Luke chapter 2, that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And now get into the angel or the shepherd's head for just a moment. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news. Here's the message. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, in the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. And as if they weren't terrified enough already, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the Bible says, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Now, in each of these stories, two messages were delivered. One I think we can understand really easily. The other one I hope will reignite maybe for some of us a passion in our life about the message that we're talking about today. The first message that the angel delivered to Mary and to Joseph and then to the shepherds out there in the field that day was simple. It was just this, don't be scared. Don't be afraid. I mean, what would you be like if all of a sudden an angel showed up in your life? Maybe you'd need to hear that as well. Don't be afraid, don't be scared. But listen, the second message that was delivered is the one that I just wanted to grasp today, because it's what this season is all about. It's what Christmas is all about. It's what we celebrate here. It's what we celebrate not only today, but I pray every day. And it's this, God is coming in the flesh. God in heaven is coming to you. And he's coming in the flesh. He's coming in the form of. His name will be Jesus. And he will save people from their sins. We need to understand the setting of when all this was taking place. And what kind of led up to these messages and these things that were going on. You see, there was this long period of silence. Now, I don't know about you, but like silence bothers me. Is anybody else there? Don't leave me by myself. How many? I mean, you okay? Thank you. There you go. See, silence. I mean, I get really nervous when it gets quiet. And I don't. My wife now, she's retired from her work, and so she's home during lunch. But that's good because I never liked going home and by myself for lunch. And so I many times didn't, you know, and I was only home for a little bit because I just don't like silence. And so when my mother, who raised five of her children by herself, wanted to play, you know, the quiet game, guess who lost? You know, right? Right. Well, here's what happened. Now, you understand, you know, I'm not in no way being sacrilegious here at all. But God decides on the quiet game. Listen, there was 400 years of silence. Just think about it. John MacArthur says it so well, I think, when he talks about what it was like to come out of that silent period into this period that we're talking about today. He says, but all of a sudden, we come to this time in history, identified in the book of Luke, as the days of Herod the king, which would have been 37 BC to 4 BC, right up until maybe a year after Jesus was born. And now we come to this time period, 400 years since the last prophet, since 400 years of silence. 500 years since the last appearance of a heavenly visitor. 500 years at least since the last miraculous act of God in the case of the friends of Daniel. And 800 years since any long list of miracles occurred in the lives of the two prophets, Elijah and Elisha. But now, something dramatic happens. All of a sudden, angels start to appear. And all of a sudden, God starts to speak and reveal his word, and miracles begin to happen. And they start and they come at a rate never before even imagined in the history of the world. Far more miracles than at any other time. This is literally, MacArthur explains it, as an explosion of the miraculous on this little piece of earth that we know as the land of Israel. And all of that miraculous surroundings, the greatest miracle, the virgin birth, that's what we're talking about today. God come in the flesh, Jesus, the virgin birth, is to indicate that God has indeed intervened and invaded history with this supernatural message and this supernatural reality. The God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, God breaks his silence. That's what's taking place. That's what's happening. And the miracle of the message that we're talking about today that I just pray will just grasp us, and for some of us, maybe in a brand new way, is that God has come and God has invaded this land. God has invaded history. And the message is this, that Jesus saves. Jesus has come to bring life. The question is, how do we respond to this message? How do we respond to this message? Or how have we respond? After all, we know that the angels that delivered this is just a messenger. That's what it means. But what have we done with this message about Jesus having come, God having come in the form of a baby? What do we do with this message? Well, for some of us, we respond in a number of ways. Some of us will reflect on it as nonsense. We see that, don't we? That's nonsense, that story. And we actually see that, don't we? You see it, you read about it in the papers, maybe you're here, and maybe that's where you are. That's another story. It's another Christmas story. It's cute. And the little baby in the manger, you know, that's cute. But it's nonsense. Or maybe we kind of fall asleep because it's like commonplace. It's another story. It's Christmas time. You know, it's another story in another book. And it sits on the shelf there beside John Grisham and Louis Lamar. Or if Downton Abbey has a book, it'd be the most boring book around. But it sits right there. It's just another story. And I guess what I want to talk to us about so much today is the miracle of this message, the miracle of this story, is not just another story. This is the Word of God. He's come, and He's come in the flesh, but maybe that's where you find yourself. Or maybe we're in this next category. We put off the messenger because we just think, look, we got to clean up our life first. I mean, I like the story. I might even believe in it, but before I can accept this story, I've just got to clean up my life. And then when I get good enough, then I'll receive that. Maybe that's where you are today. Or maybe we're the ones who have embraced Jesus today. We've embraced Him. Would you just do something right now, just kind of mentally? Would you just put a check mark where you might be today? And if you're one of those that says, well, that's just nonsense, what are you talking about? And you just kind of wandered into it, I'm really glad that you're here. I'm really glad that you're here. Because you're the one that I want to talk to today more than anything. Or maybe you'd check off, you know, it's commonplace. You're a Jesus follower, but maybe for you, this story has become commonplace. It's another story, and you believe it, but it's just one of many. And I want to talk to you today, too, because I'm praying that Jesus just reignites a passion in your heart, in your life, for this story, that God actually came to this earth. He actually invaded this earth, and He brings with Him the good news of the message that Jesus saves. Or maybe you're here and you just kind of want to, you know, you're gonna check off, yeah, I'll clean up first. I just got something to say to you. You will never get there. You will never get there. You can't do enough in your own self to get there. That's why Jesus says, look, you just come and trust me and have faith in me. And maybe you're here and you're one of those who embrace Jesus and you're living with a passion. And I just want to encourage you and say, look, keep that up because it's a world that needs to hear. But if you've checked off maybe one of those first three, look, you're not the only one. Many, many have. And I want to read a passage out of John chapter 1. It's coming up on the screen. It's also in your YouVersion notes if you're following along. John chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1, in the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He existed in the beginning with God. And God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light, this light, Jesus, shines in the darkness, God, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And then notice here, he came into the very world that he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. And then John keeps on writing, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but from a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. That's the miracle. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father, the one and only Son. John the Baptist testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another, for the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." Every now and then, I read this paraphrased version of the Bible. I don't read it much. I never study from it. It's called The Message, and some of you have that. I do love the way verse 14 reads here, and just think about it as we kind of grapple with the miracle of this message that Jesus has come. It says this, "The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like the Father, like the Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood." Man, can we just understand just the power of that thought? That God came and moved into your neighborhood, moved into my neighborhood. And I say it this way often, Jesus came and he died for the whole world. But listen, he did so just one person at a time. That's you and that's me. He came in, he invaded our world. He invaded our neighborhood. He invaded our life. That's the miracle of the message that we're talking about today, that God was willing to suffer and be like us in order to save us. And I pray that passion is ignited in many of our hearts again today. Philippians chapter 2, I told you it was a bit of a Bible sword drill today. Verses 6 and 7 says, Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave. Being born as a human being, when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. James Packer, who is an author that many of us read, he reflects on that in that passage. He says this, "It's no wonder that thoughtful people find the gospel of Jesus Christ hard to believe." It's no wonder. Because when you really think about it, you think, God, the creator of this universe, came down? It's hard for us, isn't it, to kind of wrap our finite minds around that. But he did. Packer writes, he says, "For the realities with which it deals passes our understanding. But it's so sad that so many make faith harder than it need be by finding difficulties in the wrong places." That's what we talk about. Listen, receiving this message, a miracle of the message, is as simple as trusting our life with Jesus. And if you've done that, then you've embraced Jesus. The miracle of the message has come alive in your heart. He goes on to say, to name some of the theological categories, like Jesus' death covering for all mankind's sin, if Jesus really rose from the dead, or even the idea of the virgin birth. But then he contends this. "But in fact, the real difficulty, because the supreme mystery with which the gospel confronts us does not lie here at all. It lies not in the Good Friday message of atonement, nor in the Easter message of resurrection, but in the Christmas message of the incarnation. The really staggering Christian claim is that Jesus of Nazareth was God made man, that the second person of the Godhead became the second man, determining human destiny, the second representative, head of the race, and that he took humanity without the loss of deity, so that Jesus of Nazareth was truly and fully divine as he was human. Here are two mysteries for the price of one: the plurality of persons within the unity of God and the union of Godhead and manhood in the person of Jesus Christ." All that he's saying is God came down to earth and he never gave up his deity, but he lived as a man. He goes on, he says, "It's here in the thing that happened at the first Christmas that the profoundest and most unfathomable depths of the Christian revelation lie. The Word was made flesh. God became man. The divine Son became a Jew. The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, unable to do more than lie and stare and wiggle and make noises, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. And there was no illusion or deception in this. The babyhood of the Son of God was a reality. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as is this truth of incarnation. Think about it this way. That's how much God loves this earth. That's how much God loves us. That's how much God loves you, that he was willing to send his Son for you and to send his Son for me. And I shared it the first week when we talked about the miracle of the moment, Romans chapter 5. It just paints this picture that you and I were absolutely, utterly helpless and we couldn't do anything about it. It just says this: when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Folks, that's what we're talking about when we talk about Christmas in the incarnation, God coming in the flesh as an expression of his love for you and for me. And we need to understand that when we talk about flesh, it means a human nature, not sinful like you and me when we're born into sin or weakness. He came in the flesh. Here's the tension of the message today. We're going to wrap up right now. What do we do with it? What do we do with it? Because it requires a response from every one of us today. It requires a response. For some of us, maybe the message we'll receive is this: man, I didn't know God loved me that much. And you're going to respond today by saying, Jesus, I just trust in you. That's your response. For some of us, maybe we'll fall into this category, and it's what I pray. I pray for myself, by the way, that the passion of his coming will be maybe reignited in our hearts and in our life. Maybe the Christmas story has kind of slipped into just another story. Look, it's another Christmas. It's another time of, you know, buying presents and doing all. It's another Christmas, and you know, it's Christmas number 59 for me. It's just another Christmas. And I'm praying that our response is this: look, God just reignites the passion in your heart, in your life, and in my heart, and my life. It's not just another Christmas. Maybe the Christmas story has become too commonplace. And we're going to respond by saying, Jesus, would you just ignite that in my heart and my life again today? Because see, you're working with people who fit in that first category. Go, that's nonsense. And you live around people like that, and so do I. We come in contact with people like that. God, can you just reignite the Christmas story in my heart? Look, there was a response by Mary, Joseph, and by the shepherds. Mary responded this way: I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Joseph responded. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded. He did it. And the shepherds responded to each other, and they said, let's go to Bethlehem. There was a response by each one. So what's our response today? Would you stand? I'm going to pray. And I'm just going to invite you to join me in this prayer. Maybe you're here today and you're just one of those where the story has been nonsense. But maybe you just kind of sense God talking to you and say, look, you just need to know that I came for you and you're going to receive him as your Lord and Savior today. Many of us maybe are in that category where the Christmas story has just become another story. We say, Jesus, just reignite that passion in my heart, in my life. Maybe that's where you are today. Can we pray together? Father, I thank you for the miracle of the message. that you have come into this world. God, you invaded this world. You sent your son Jesus to save us, to rescue us. We can't understand that. I don't think we can wrap our minds around it fully, but we experience it. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus and it's just been another story, but maybe today's different for you. It just goes like this. Jesus, I put my trust in you. I put my faith in you. I want to give my life to you. I've messed it up. But today I understand that you love me, that you came for me, and I want to receive you. And if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says that's what you've done is you've just received Jesus into your heart. For many of us, we're praying this prayer, God, reignite the passion of the Christmas story, the miracle, the message, that indeed you have come. It's not just another story. It's a story. It's a message of freedom. It's an eternal one because you prepare for us an eternal home. And today, Jesus, we're praying that that passion would be reignited into our hearts, into our lives today. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The world needs to hear this story. Listen, we've been entrusted with this message, haven't we? And I think that's what kept waking me up last night. It's this message that we have, that we've been entrusted with, that we get to tell people about. We get to tell people about. I just hope that excites you. It does me. It does. Well, I'm going to dismiss you in just a few moments. Remember, next Sunday, it's going to be a great Sunday, Christmas Sunday. We're going to have something for the kids, and it's going to be great as we all gather together. We're going to change the auditorium just a little bit, so when you come in, if your chair is not where you think it should be, just relax. It'll be all right. You know, it's going to be a great Sunday together. So if you're here and you have questions about Jesus and about the faith, I'll be standing right out there in the lobby. And so would you grab me? Let's talk, shall we? Father, we go in your peace and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. See you next week.